Hi everyone, Dave Biddle here. Got a great show for you with Jay Book to close out the week. Brady Edmonds is remaining a Buckeye. He reaffirmed his allegiance to Ohio State yesterday, so great news for Ohio State, especially on the heels of the Buckeyes not landing David Gabriel George. Where do they go from here as far as running back recruiting? Jay Book and I are going to get into that and much more. All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, Bucknoters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, July 24th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy joined by Jonah Booker. Always great to do the shows with you, my friend. BTA Fridays are back. Soon we're going to be doing our prediction Fridays, so that'll be fun. The enhanced version of BTA Fridays. All right, let's start with Brady Edmonds. It's been, you know, he's been committed to Ohio State for almost 2 years. He grew up a big Ohio State fan. His parents are Ohio State fans. His grandparents are Ohio State fans. They have, you know, roots in Ohio. And then for a while, man, it looked like he was going to flip to UCLA. Just my opinion. I thought if you made me bet about a month and a half ago, I'd have said, I think he's going to flip. But he reconfirmed his allegiance to Ohio State yesterday, Jay Book. Brady Edmonds is going to be a Buckeye. Good news for the Bucks.
Yeah, definitely good news. I was a little skeptical about if he was going to finish in this class or not, Dave. I know you and I talked about it, and at one point when he was talking to the media, when he visited Columbus, he was like, we'll kind of see how things go. But Ohio State, they like what they saw over his development. I think one of the issues that a lot of people were saying is he didn't necessarily take that big of a jump that a lot of people were expecting last season. But he's a heck of a prospect. You're this late in the game, Dave. Secure him, see how things go. He's been a Buckeye, wants to be a Buckeye. You want kids who want to be here. And that's the biggest thing with Edmonds. So I'm very, very happy that he's going to be part of this class. Remember, Dave, he was one of the true first commits, and he's been recruiting his butt off for this class, trying to help out as much as possible.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It reminds me of a lot of the quarterbacks over the years, like Justin Zwick. Really helped put together that 2002 class back in the day. Even though Troy Smith was one of the guys in that class. But you always love when the quarterback takes the bull by the horns and helps them recruit. Yeah. And I had a chance to meet Brady for the first time in person at one of Ohio State's camps. We had a lot of guys out of town. So I went back to my roots covering recruiting. I hadn't been to Ohio State recruiting camp in like a long time. And got a chance to talk to Brady. I'm telling you, he's every bit of 6'5". He's got a strong arm. We know that, but he's extremely intelligent and extremely mature, and he doesn't seem like he's too cool for school or anything like that. He's just got a very good mindset, and I think that's important for a quarterback.
Right. Absolutely. And when you see him throw, it's different, Dave. it really looks like he is shooting a ball through a water hose the way it jumps off his hands. It's unbelievable. He's not the most mobile quarterback, but he can pick up a couple hitting yards here and there. But when you look at his game, it's a Cardale Jones type of game. Just huge stature, big time arm, can launch it all the way down the field anywhere, drop the ball in the bucket. So he was an Elite 11 guy, and Ohio State has had a lot of success with Elite 11 quarterbacks. So I'm very pleased that he's going to be standing in this class, because if you think about it, Dave, they really want a quarterback in this class. If he were to decommit and potentially go to UCLA, it would be extremely difficult to be able to find a replacement quarterback that at this late in the game that you can say, yeah, that kid's clear and above better than Brady Edmonds. I will find that very hard to believe that they will be able to pull off a feat like that.
We've got a loyal listener in here, a loyal member of the chat, Hollywood Hager. Happy birthday, Hollywood. Turning 65 today. You don't look a day older than 64, my friend. I don't know what you look
happy
like.
Birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday. So, yeah, man, I'm just really glad Brady Edmonds is staying in the class. Who knows if he's going to be, you know, a stud quarterback here or not, but I'm just glad that he's the quarterback in this class, and we'll see what happens. All right, let's put a bow on the DGG stuff. Like, there's been some, you know, people saying, oh, they screwed up by putting all their eggs in his basket. I'm curious to get your take on this. My take on it, if we projected ahead in 2027 and looked at Ohio State's running back room, we're like, oh, geez, there's a big hole there, then I would have a problem with putting all your eggs in the DGG basket. But when he would have been more of a luxury item, if you projected it, now we don't know what's going to happen, Jay Book, obviously, but you projected forward, Bo Jackson's still going to be here in theory. Isaiah West is going to be here in theory. Legend Bay is going to be here in theory. And who knows about Turbo Rogers and Favor Aki if they're going to, you know, step up and be in the mix too. But you're going to have those three guys. It would have been great to have DGG. Don't get me wrong. There's a reason that they went all in on him. Well, Tennessee went all in on him. Right. I don't have a problem with it because of the circumstances. Like, curious to get your take on how Ohio State handled it.
Don't forget, Dave, and a lot of people, when they talk about this recruitment, they never mention that Coach Lachlan already has the number three running back in the 2028 class, Elijah Newman Hall. So you're talking about, running back room that's still fairly young. Would you have loved to have them? Absolutely. I can understand a lot of people that argue, well, he should have had a backup plan here. And my point is maybe, but at the same time, with the transfer portal being so available, you can find a lot of talent in that transfer portal if you really want to. So it's you can fill that gap fairly quickly. Now with him, there's so many different layers to that recruitment that kind of makes you scratch your head, because if you're Ohio State, though, you have to kind of expect that Tennessee's going to get down in the mud and get dirty. And I don't know if Ohio State expected Tennessee to play the game that the way that they played it, with all of the perks and everything that was associated with this recruitment. But you have to go in learning from the Davis Sanders Jr. situation that you need to be able to have a plan pivot just in case. Now, will they go and try to flip some other guys? I think so. Some names that you're talking about, I can see them circling back on Landon Williams-Callis, the kid who committed to he's supposed to be committing pretty soon, and they got a couple guys that they're looking at. Kaden Wayne, his recruitment's been quiet. So there's CJ Cowley. There's some guys that they're probably interested in that they're going to have to go back to their board and say, you know what, let's see what these guys are going to look like their senior year. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, take the money that you were going to offer to DGG and go find yourself another premier running back. Theoretically, that makes sense, because you're looking at it as, I don't know, a cap situation, to where you're saying, okay, you were willing to allocate this much money to this running back. That's a particular running back that you viewed in the Jeremiah Smith type of mode. I don't think Ohio State operates and says, okay, we still have that X amount of money left over. Let's shift it over to here. I think for them, it's more or less like, okay, we have this is just kind of our conversations with Brian Schottenstein on how they do it. Like, that's not really how they do it. They kind of look at it as like, we have hypothetically $30 million, okay? And we need to have that $30 million be able to fit into a puzzle piece to sign all of the other position groups. So if we were to land DGG, that probably means it's going to take money from a different position group. Whereas, okay, maybe we wanted to get another wide receiver. Okay, we can't go and get a splashy wide receiver. So they don't just allocate, boom, here. They have a big pot and they try to make the pieces fit as far as a puzzle. But you can probably go and get yourself another running back in the transfer portal come this winter, Dave, and he will probably be much more productive because you've seen him in the college ranks perform already. Here's my question, though. If Tennessee struggles this year, Dave, and I tweeted it out, their schedule, I can see a scenario where they go 7-5. Is Heupel on the hot seat at that point? Is the buy-in that great from the big boosters to say, you know what? We missed the playoff a couple times. We're 7-5 going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Like, what are we doing here offering this much money and jets and all of the other perks to a running back when we need a whole system and complete roster overhaul? And because you and I both know, Dave, that first year under Jim Knowles, it can get a little dicey when it comes to the chunk plays, especially in the SEC. So they're talking about a freshman quarterback, Jim Knowles trying to implement his defense. Ask James Franklin in Penn State how that worked out under year one under Jim Knowles. You don't have a Caleb Downs or Racer back there, or a Sonny Styles or Arvell Reese or JT Tuamalu or a Tyleek Williams, those type of NFL caliber guys that Ohio State was able to produce in Jim Knowles' defense to be able to amass a lot of the efficiencies. What did Sonny Styles say about Jim Knowles wearing the green dot? Sonny Styles during the prep situation, because a lot of people talked to him about Jim Knowles' defense to Matt Patricia's defense. And Sonny Styles said, wearing the green dot in Jim Knowles' system, and this is a first-round linebacker saying it was one of the most stressful situations because Jim is notorious for getting the play calls in late because he wants to see how the offense breaks the huddle and what they do. And because of that, Sonny Styles said, I had 10 other guys that were cussing me out because it's 5 seconds, 6 seconds left in the play clock. The offense is lining up and they didn't even have the calls in. And so now you're going to try to implement that in a Tennessee defense, which was atrocious, has a fraction of the talent that Ohio State has. They could easily have a 7-5, 6-6 type of season.
And even if they go like 7-5 this year, or he, you know, and he survives this year, though I don't know if he would if they go 7-5, then what if they have another mediocre year after that? They decide to keep him for 2027. Then DGG could pull a Caleb Downs. I know that was Saban retiring, not getting fired, but same concept. If all of a sudden, like after 2 years or after his freshman year, he loses his coach, he could be in the portal. Now, I am hearing DGG signing a 3-year contract. I don't know if there's an out clause after a year. Who knows? All this stuff is like, you know, they got to be very secretive, but it's leaked out. It's like a 3-year contract for, I think, $6 million, not a year. I think it's $2 million a year. Maybe I'm off on that. But that's the last that I heard, that he was going to sign a 3-year contract with Tennessee. Again, I don't know. Are there any rules? Like, if he does that and he wants to leave after a year, if your coach leaves, are you locked in? I guess it would depend on the language of the contract. I don't know.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you were saying, Dave. Like, is that even legal? Like, can you collectively bargain because these kids aren't, they're not part of a union or establishment to say signing a 3-year college contract is legal, and you're bound to that contract even if your coach gets fired. Like I feel like that goes against any type of antitrust or transfer portal rules and guidelines. It's weird, but I would not be surprised if Tennessee has a subpar year and everybody's looking around was like, have fun with your $2 million running back on a 6-6, 7-5 Music City Bowl bid.
I'm sure, obviously, Lachlan is not happy about this, to say the least. Yeah. I bet you also that he kind of understands it, because they threw everything in the kitchen sink at DGG, everything. He got the number that he wants, everything that you mentioned, like all of the benefits to his family, all of this stuff that Ohio State couldn't guarantee you're going to come in here and start when Bo Jackson's going to be a junior and Isaiah West is going to be there and Legend Bay is going to be there. We can't give you the block O as a true freshman. I will say something about that when people say this longtime tradition at Ohio State. It's like, what's it been a tradition for, Jay Book? Like 8 years or something like that? So I think it's not like we've been doing the block O number for like 100 years here at Ohio State. But it is a cool thing. I understand they can't promise that to a true freshman. I bet you Lachlan kind of understands. And I bet you he's not going to burn any bridges. He's going to pull a Larry Johnson. I'm not saying John Walker was at any type of level as DGG as a recruit, but Larry Johnson never burned bridges and got John Walker. You know, Caleb Downs, Ohio State, never burned bridges. And then after a year, he comes to Ohio State. So I imagine Carlos Lachlan's not going to burn any bridges here. And if DGG does transfer one day, it might be here to Columbus.
Right. And I know there's going to be people out there that are upset with Coach Lachlan. And, you know, I'm not here to tell you what to do. But, hey, Coach Lachlan, man, I still ride with him regardless. I think he's a heck of a running back coach. And he's been here 2 years, Dave. He has a national championship under his belt. His running backs have rushed for over 4,400 yards and 48 touchdowns in 2 seasons. And if you'd have told us right now, going into last season, Dave, that Bo Jackson would be a 1,000-yard running back, people would have told you that you're insane and you're delusional. So if you look at the production that he's getting out of his running back room, his guys are producing on the field. That's why when you look at it as a pure football sense, it's not even close, Ohio State to Tennessee. Ohio State, you're going to be much more productive. You're going to be surrounded by a much better offensive line and a team that's going to be able to take the load off of you. I mean, they have no choice but to run that kid into the ground. If you're paying that much money, as long as he's healthy, they're going to treat him how NFL teams treat running backs that are on cheap deals, Dave, which is, we're going to run you to the ground until we get the most out of you. I wouldn't be surprised if this kid goes into the NFL, Dave, with 600 carries under his belt.
Not a good idea to do that. As we all know, of any professional sport, what position and what sport has the shortest shelf life? Running back in football, of any position in any sport.
Wasn't that the knock on Saban's running backs for the longest period of time going into the NFL? I mean, Derrick Henry broke that mold, but the one thing is Alabama running backs were beat to hell because of the way they ran them into the ground.
It's so funny you said that. I was going to say, well, thank goodness they didn't run Derrick Henry into the ground against Ohio State in that 2014 game. They made sure to get T.J. Yeldon a lot of carries, and Blake Sims, the most mediocre Alabama quarterback ever, maybe. He threw the ball 36 times in that game, and Derrick Henry got like 14 carries and was looking great. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's a freaking beast. That was his sophomore year. He's out there just trucking people, and Lane Kiffin gives him like 14 carries and lets Blake Sims just air it out. Yeah, keep throwing the ball. We'll keep doing pick sixes and fun stuff like that. Steve Miller, take the money and run, baby. Oh, I love that. Still, man, I could talk about that 2014 Sugar Bowl like all day. Just one of my favorite games ever for Ohio State. All right, moving right along here. The jersey patch. This is funny to me. I actually was filling in at the Fan on Wednesday, so I got a heads up before this even leaked yesterday that it was going to be Chase, mm-hmm. and that Huntington Bank not too pleased about it. Like, they were obviously in the running here, and yeah. Chase just came in and upped the offer, and Huntington wouldn't match. And people were like, that's kind of doing a Columbus company dirty. Also, Huntington is the official bank of Ohio State, which is a whole other story. You know, Chase came in with a better offer. Huntington didn't want to match. And Chase is – J.P. Morgan's Chase, like, their headquarters is New York City, but they're by far their second biggest footprints here in Columbus. It's kind of like their junior headquarters, so to speak. So, looks like it's going to be Chase Bank as the sponsor, as Kenyatta Jackson. I don't know if it was Kenyatta Jackson that leaked it. It was just his picture. Ohio State leaked it yesterday with the jersey patch. I don't have a problem with it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fine. Only thing I would say is try to center it. Like how it was like off to the side of the Big Ten logo. Like it, I think it would look just a little bit better if you just kind of dropped it right on top of the Big Ten logo. Dang, I wonder how much Chase offered.
I mean, I was saying Ohio, like, you know, I was going to mention this as well. Like, we talked about this in the boarding house today. Yeah, it's not just Huntington is the official bank of Ohio State, which they are. There's the Huntington Club at Ohio Stadium. There's the Huntington Club at the Schottenstein Center. I could go on and on. It is kind of interesting when you think about it, but, like, it's not like Chase is just some outside company. They do have, I mean, they employ, like thousands of people here in Columbus, but it's still interesting to me. I am really – my source didn't know that at the FAM. Like, how much do you think it is? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't even want to venture a guess. It ain't cheap, though. It ain't cheap.
I bet you Ohio State's deal is more than the entire Big 12's monster deal. I mean, think about how many people are going – what the I think the Big 12 got 20 million or something like that. Like, you would think that this is probably over a multi-year period.
For sure. Just like that Safe Light Field thing, I think that was like at least a 10-year deal. Like, that's how it always – naming rights for stadiums, like, you know, when Paul Brown Stadium – when they needed the money for Joe Burrow and the Bengals sold the naming rights to Paycor Stadium, I think that was a 20-year deal. I'm not saying this is 20 years, but I guarantee it's at least five, at the very least.
That's five what I'm year saying. Deal. So if you look at that deal, man, it's a – for Chase, it's a no-brainer. Because you're going to have one of the highest viewership teams in Ohio State. And when you look at Ohio State's schedule this year, so many big-time games that they're going to rack up millions and millions of views, and everybody's going to see that Chase logo on their jersey. So that right there, you can run as many commercials as you want to. There will not be more eyes on a Chase logo than an Ohio State patch. That's why I'm like, that right there is worth its weight in gold. I hope Ross took them to the cleaners, man. For it has to be substantial. For Huntington Bank, who works directly with Ohio State, that says that's too rich for our blood, that tells you it has to be a significant amount of money that they're bringing in.
No doubt about it. And like, and Ohio State did the right thing. Ohio State wasn't going to be irresponsible and take less money. Like, this is all about trying to get the most money. And they also weren't going to take some like BS brand and put it on there. They weren't necessarily going to chase the biggest bag. But if it's between Chase and Huntington, they gave Huntington the chance to match, my source told me. And Huntington said, no, to your point, Jay Buck, that must be a ton of cash for Huntington to be in the mix, thinking they're going to get it. And they're thinking they're paying like a lot of money. And then Chase comes in over them. Man, I'd love to know exactly what that is. There's a way of finding these things out. We'll find out eventually what it is. I'm very curious.
There has to be a public records thing.
You would think so, but they'll block it. Or now that they can do this crap where they charge you for, which I think that should be illegal. When universities charge you for freedom of information requests, like Michigan is like the worst actor in the world when it comes to that. Yeah, we'll release this information that's supposed to be public if you give us like thousands of dollars. Like, no. Yeah. Now, if the company covered it, then you know, what would I care?
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
All right. I do want to ask you about Julian Sand as well. It's so funny to me. I love that the season's almost here and the results are going to speak for themselves. But The Athletic did a really interesting piece where they, you know, anonymously, because you want these guys to be able to give their true feelings. They interviewed coaches, assistant coaches and head coaches across the country. They interviewed GMs, personnel directors, everything. And they came up with their list of, in order, the all 138 projected starting quarterbacks at the FBS level this year, 1 through 138. Would you like to be number 138 on that list? Kind of feel bad for that kid. So Julian was fifth. I think that's relatively fair. I'd have him higher. Mm-hmm. You had some coaches saying, oh, he should be like top two, or I'd have him number one. Phil Steele has him number one. Then you have some analysts like Todd McShay. They're like, I don't even know if he's top 10. Some of the coaches that were quoted in the story, again, anonymously, from The Athletic, they said things like he's a game manager, this and that, he's a caretaker. Other coaches are like, he's got just elite accuracy. He the last two games weren't his fault because of the offensive line and the play calling. Very polarizing figure. You talk to like people about CJ Carr, it's kind of almost like the same thing. Dante Moore. Julian, our boy is a polarizing figure. Like, what do you make of that? And where do you come down on Julian?
And also add in the fact that Josh Pate did a segment on Julian Sand and said that he talked to multiple coaches and players who questioned Julian Sand's heart and desire. I think for a freshman, I thought he had a really good year. I mean, you're a Heisman finalist as a freshman, your first year starting at a quarterback. He broke like Joe Burrow's completion percentage. Like he was an accuracy. An accurate quarterback specialist to where he was just dropping the ball in buckets all over the field. You would think that with his same quarterback coach there and Ryan Day there, that he's going to take a step. If you're Ohio State, top five quarterback in all of college football, that can get you into a national championship. Think about where Ohio State has been, Dave, as far as winning a national championship. During the season, would you have considered Will Howard a top five quarterback? Like when he started the season coming from Kansas State, I don't know if I would have said Will Howard was a top five quarterback when they named him the starter. No. At the time, JT Barrett and Cardale Jones combination, I mean, you had tons of other quarterbacks that were drafted way higher than him. So the NFL theoretically said those guys weren't top five quarterbacks. And you look back at Krenzel. Krenzel wasn't a top five quarterback in the country at the time. So if Julian's top five right now, coming off a freshman season, I think you're talking about rare air, like elite quarterback play that you're staring down the barrel that a lot of people are probably taking a little for granted here. So I think he has the potential to have a big season with those two factors, with Ryan being second year quarterback under Ryan Day and having his quarterback there. So I'm not buying all of the smoke. I think a lot of people, if you ever ventured out to California, people, and I'm actually in California right now. We go to the beach and stuff there. Julian Sand's personality is just California cool, man. Like you go and associate with and just talk and strike up a conversation with some of these people, and he's a surfer, and these guys, man, they're just like laid back. Like nothing really gets them overly excited or down. Like when you talk to them, they're just cool, man. And that's just his vibe. Like when you talk to Julian Sand, he's just Tim Duncan S, not too high, not too low. I'm going to keep it even keel. I'm not going to say things in the public like a certain quarterback up north that kind of puts the spotlight on himself. He keeps it very, coach speak, and he goes about his business. And I think a lot of people misconstrue that as someone who doesn't have a desire to win, which I disagree with.
And as far as like the running aspect of this, one thing that does not get discussed at all in national writers or analysts talk about this is Ryan Day coaches that out of his quarterbacks. They never mention that. Like, Julian Sand's afraid to run. No, he's not. Ryan Day coaches that out of his quarterbacks. We know this for a fact because Justin Fields talked about it. CJ Stroud talked about it. that he's very cautious. Now, Will Howard was the exception to that rule. You're not going to have Will Howard and not run the ball. And I also think Chip Kelly, it was like, we've got to use this guy as a runner. And hopefully Art Smith will do that this year. Not like Julian's going to be like Will. I'm not saying that at all. As you know, and you and I have talked about it a million times, JB, give it to me like once or twice, three times a game. Pick up a cheap first down or pick up some cheap yards. Get out of bounds. Slide. I don't need him taking hits. And it was there last year, and he didn't take advantage of it. And from watching all of Ryan Day's quarterbacks, that is a Ryan Day coaching thing. That is not on Julian Saya not having any heart. That's a bunch of nonsense. And when national people talk about that and they don't mention the fact that Ryan Day coaches that out of his quarterbacks, they're doing their listeners and their readers a disservice because they're leaving out a huge part of the story. And it obviously irritates me, as you can tell.
Right. I hear you. I'll be curious to know how they do this year, because the comment from Ryan Day that really stuck out in my head, when after they beat Michigan, he talked about how his favorite play of the game was when Julian Sand left the pocket and lowered his shoulder to get that first down to kind of seal the game there. And he said that was like one of his favorite plays. And if I'm not mistaken, as we progress later on throughout the playoffs, he did mention after the Big Ten championship that getting those hidden yards, as you mentioned, was important. So I think that that's going to be something that is a little bit different this year. And if I remember, you guys talk to him so much, and I consume all of the content from the Bucknut staff, and I read every piece of articles and everything that you guys put out. Somebody asked him that in the spring, like at the start of spring ball, about him getting those hidden yards. And he was like, I need to do a better job at that. And I think that's going to be somewhat of an emphasis this year going into the fall. I don't need you to run 40. Give me those Carson Beck hitting yards, 3 to 4 yards that we can move the chains, or at minimum, keep the offense on schedule. Instead of taking an 8-yard sack, now we're sitting in 2nd and 4 or 3rd and 3 because our quarterback escaped the pocket and did a nice little cheap dive upfield to keep the offense on schedule.
One more thing before I get you out of here. All right, because we have somebody that has a very important question for you. All right, Jay Book, you said a couple weeks ago you were in Southern Wyoming at a rodeo. Was that the Cheyenne Frontier Days? He's like, I have been to 4 of those. This is from Dusty on YouTube.
No, I was actually in Northern Wyoming in Sheridan, Wyoming. So it was pretty crazy, man. We got to see the number one bull rider in the world. It was unbelievable. No one had ridden this bull, just a massive, just big back boy bull that no one has ridden over 3 to 4 seconds. This dude got on this bull, and this thing was just ticked off. He was bucking so hard, like the guy, the first 3 seconds was still in the chute, just getting his ribs just absolutely brutalized as he's just holding them to this bull. And then he finally gets it out of the chute, rode it for like 8 seconds. Crowd's going crazy. Everybody's on their feet. Last ride of the night, guy takes the prize, man. Like those, I'm thinking to myself, I was like, these dudes are hardcore, man. Like you talk about taking an absolute beating. Like those bull riders is something else. Like I was, as a competitor, Dave, I was all into the rodeo. I was in there fired up, man. Had me at Cohen. I'm like, let's go.
That would be fun. I've never seen one live. That looks like that'd be fun as heck to see live. Yeah. Sit back with a cold one and watch these guys get flown off of these bulls. Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be pretty cool. All right, man, good stuff. I appreciate it as always. Hope you have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for your insights. You he is Mr. Talk Jonah Booker, everyone.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Great stuff as always out of Jay Book. Yeah, we covered a lot of ground on the show today. Brady Edmonds, love that. I love that, especially right after the DGG situation. I think everybody needed a little pick-me-up. I don't think you guys are all still basking. I don't think you guys were that down in the dumps about DGG. We kind of knew it was coming by the time it came. So not kind. We definitely knew it was coming by Wednesday. But it was nice that Brady did that yesterday. I don't know if the timing had anything to do with the DGG situation, but Maybe it did. Maybe Ohio State said, if you're going to do it, it might be nice to do it now. You get us a little momentum back. So awesome having Brady Edmonds in the class, and he will continue to help recruit others for this awesome class that they are putting together. I love how great they are in the trenches on both sides. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. And Locke will find a running back. He'll circle back. He'll flip one of these guys. Maybe the guy that's committed to Florida State. You could see Locke flipping him. He'll get us a running back in this class. Don't worry. And, you know, the fact that Legend Bay, I think, is going to put, you know, a lot of these, not fears, a lot of these concerns to rest this year about the future of the running back room. So past 2027, I think Legend Bay is going to be an absolute stud. I know he's not like a true running back. It would have been nice to have DGG and Legend in the same backfield. I get that. I get that. But at least be able to complement each other. But, and maybe it still will. Maybe he will pull a Caleb Downs and, you know, eventually come here. All right. And Julian Sand, technically, too. Julian picked Alabama. Was only there for like a week before Saban retired and then came here. Again, Ohio State was the runner-up, and then things changed, and then Julian came here. No bridges were burned, and bam. So, as I said earlier, there's no way Lachlan's burning any bridges here. He knows there's a chance DGG could eventually transfer here. We'll see. All right, great stuff from J-Book, as always. Thanks to all of you. Nice large audience here in our live chat, our live feed. Thanks to everybody watching it live. Thanks to everybody listening to it, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you guys so much. Thanks to all of you. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day and a great weekend, and go Bucks.
Welcome to Pluto Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, just stream it for free on Pluto TV, where all your blockbuster favorites are landing all summer long. Catch Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Fantastic!
The Matrix Trilogy.
Welcome to the real world.
Mean Girls.
Shut up!
Titanic.
I'm the king of the world!
And so much more. For showtimes, press nothing. They're free 24/7.
That is so fetch.
On Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.